It is Friday, May 4th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, China denies firing lasers at U.S. planes landing in Djibouti. We look at the possible impact.
This is the kind of thing that can lead to escalation if both sides don't kind of keep the cool type of thing.
Democratic gains in the midterm elections would alter President Donald Trump's presidency, and a new country music reality television show is coming to the small screen. It's all ahead. China is denying accusations that it fired military-grade lasers at U.S. planes landing at Camp Lemonnier in the East African nation of Djibouti. Hua Chunying, a spokesperson for China's foreign ministry Friday, told reporters U.S. allegations that the pilot suffered minor injuries after Chinese nationals aimed high-powered lasers at them were completely inconsistent with the facts. In a written response to VOA, China's Ministry of National Defense said the Chinese side has refuted the untrue allegations made by the United States through official channels. But at a news conference on Thursday, Pentagon spokesperson Dana White said the U.S. is confident Chinese nationals are behind two recent incidents involving four engine military transport planes making their landings. Mike Fabey is America's naval editor-writer for Jane's and author of the book Crashback, The Power Clash Between the U.S. and China in the Pacific. He tells me how lasers can blind pilots.
Well, it's just like, I mean, anytime, just think of the lasers that you might have, on your pen, that, if you were shining it in your eyes, and that's pretty close to everything, you automatically are blinded, pretty quickly. Well, you just have to extrapolate that out. These are military-grade lasers. They can aim and fire with precision, and with the right kind of power, they can, automatically put that blinding stream of electrons and basically can temporarily make it impossible to see.
So this would be very much planned.
It would be very much planned to put a laser on the aircraft. I can't get into the minds of the folks who are doing this to say we are doing this to blind the pilots, but certainly this isn't, we accidentally, put a laser beam on there. This would be a targeted thing.
There has been a concern about lasers used in this way, though, I believe, previously, at least here domestically.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that within the United States that there's been a concern in around airports and things like that. Everything from, kids with new laser types of things all the way out to possible terrorists trying to, get pilots one way or another with either commercial airliners or FedEx aircraft, UPS aircraft. There have been a couple of cases where they've complained about that kind of thing. So this is something that's been going on for a number of years, actually, here.
This goes on as tensions are mounting, I think you can say, between the U.S. and China in some regards. And certainly militarily, now we should say China has denied these reports, but if this is being done, by the Chinese, could it show an increasing tension between the two countries?
Well, absolutely. First, get to your point that China's denied. On the opposite side, at a Pentagon briefing just the other day, Pentagon made clear that they were certain that this was due from Chinese nationals who were doing this. But there's been a rise in tension, mostly in the Western Pacific militarily. In the Western Pacific, there's been a great kind of expansion of Chinese power, especially at sea. And since the end of World War II, the U.S. has kind of been the maritime cop out there. They've been the one basically running warships through the area to make sure there was freedom of navigation, not only for U.S. shipping, for all international shipping, including Chinese. But in recent decade or so, the Chinese military, especially their naval forces, have started to expand, and there's been these confrontations. And at the same time that they've expanded on the sea, they've also expanded their footprint to some islands out there, or some features that they've actually kind of created islands around where they put some military installations on. And so right now you have a capability of the Chinese, if they wanted to, control South China Sea. What makes this attack different, the laser attack, is this first time you're seeing something so some kind of aggressive action somewhere else in the world. And that really kind of, you know, this is something that you've had some military strategists on the U.S. side warning about, especially this kind of attack, this what they call a non-kinetic attack. You know, you don't have any kind of a real military-grade weapon being launched, but this is the kind of thing that can lead to escalation if both sides don't kind of keep their cool type of thing.
There have been reports that China has placed anti-ship cruise missiles and surface-to-air missiles on outposts in the Spratly Islands, an area you've written about extensively.
That's right. And I should say there are reports about that, and the reports have yet to be completely confirmed. Having said that, the Chinese already had significant military installations out there, including surface-to-air missile defense systems, runways, and things like that. Very recently, in confirmation hearings to be new Pacific Commander, Admiral Phil Davidson said, essentially, look, these things are pretty much already military bases. The only thing they really lack right now is the personnel. And when that happens, China basically has its own military bases right there in the South China Sea. So from reporting that I've seen and from the sources I have, I would say that it's there's some element of truth to the fact that they have these type of missile equipment and weapons out there now.
Mike Fabey, Jane's American Naval Editor, writer, and author of the book Crash Back, The Power Clash Between the U.S. and China in the Pacific. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
Well, a number of things, and I guess I should say happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Happy May the 4th.
All right.
Does that date mean anything to you?
Afraid not. No, sorry.
Well, that's because you probably aren't reaching down deep enough into your inner geek. May the 4th be with you. Today is Star Wars Day. And yes, what a surprise. People who use social media are talking incessantly about Star Wars and all kinds of things. So you're seeing a lot of hashtag May the 4th, hashtag Star Wars Day, hashtag May the 4th be with you. Bad pun. It usually... they're really not worth sharing because people are just kind of sharing pictures and jokes and all their sort of inner fanboy and all that kind of thing. So, but it's certainly got lots of people talking. It's also a day when there really doesn't seem to be anything necessarily unifying. Of course, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, is having a meeting down in Dallas. The president and the vice president will speak there. And lots of people talking about that, what this may mean for the gun control debate. Lots of people talking about Paul Manafort, a federal judge today, hearing part of one case that's being brought by Robert Mueller against Paul Manafort. Took Mr. Mueller to task in court today, basically questioning whether Mr. Mueller is overstepping his bounds, whether he's overreaching. Whether he's simply kind of trying to get Trump. And of course, people still are talking about a story that I think you led with yesterday, which was Rudy Giuliani's sort of media blitz that he did a few days ago or a few nights ago, and still proving to be a very fertile area of discussion, people talking about it. Let's just share a couple thoughts here, about a minute left. Let's see, it doesn't matter if the money was paid with a campaign check. There's, of course, whether Cohen, Trump's attorney, paid Stormy Daniels out of his personal funds and whether Mr. Trump paid him back or not or who knew, and it's all very confusing. If the purpose of it was to help the campaign by keeping Stormy quiet, then it is a $130,000 campaign contribution, which is illegal. Duh. I mean, duh. Here's North Texas Blue. So has Giuliani lost his mind? Do Trump know what he was going to say? Are we sure Giuliani is a lawyer? What is going on at the White House right now? Here's Andrew Tumulty. I kind of like this one. This is his tweet. Loud crashing noise. Me. What was that? My three-year-old daughter. Nothing. I submit this as proof that my daughter is smarter than Giuliani. So a number of people. Again, it's just proving to be, as I say, a very fertile area of conversation on social media.
And I'm sure one we've not heard the last of.
No.
Thank you very much, Doug. That social media editor, Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. The government of Burundi suspends Voice of America and BBC broadcasts ahead of a referendum. President Donald Trump says the time and place have been set for the planned historic summit with the leader of North Korea. A summit in France marks the end to the Basque separatist group ETA. And as we heard, President Trump says Rudolph Giuliani must get his facts straight on porn star Stormy Daniels. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A paper detailing the final theory of the origins of the universe from the late Stephen Hawking was published in the Journal of High Energy Physics. The study, which Hawking worked on in collaboration with Professor Thomas Hertog from Belgium's Catholic University Leuven, questions the widely accepted eternal inflation aspects of the Big Bang theory. This proposes that in just a fraction of a second after the Big Bang, the universe began to rapidly inflate and that this inflation will have no end. The new Hawking-Hertog concept predicts that the universe instead is finite and is much simpler than what many of current theories about the Big Bang say. The two scientists approach their work by using the string theory concept of holography, which suggests that the universe is a large and complex hologram. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, some parents won't vaccinate their children against certain diseases, and we'll find out why. U.S. voters head to the polls in November for a high-stakes congressional midterm election, where Republican control of both the House of Representatives and the Senate is in jeopardy. The outcome of the elections could have a profound impact on President Donald Trump as well, and the president is starting to take notice. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
At a recent campaign-style rally in Michigan, President Trump turned up the heat on opposition Democrats.
A vote for a Democrat in November is a vote for open borders and crime. It's very simple.
Trump is trying to get his supporters excited about congressional elections in November, where Democrats expect to make big gains.
We got to go out, right? We got to go out. We got to go out, and we got to fight like hell, and we got to win the House, and we got to win the Senate. And I think we're going to do great in the Senate, and I think we're going to do great in the House, because the economy is so good.
Democrats are organizing with help from billionaire Tom Steyer. Steyer is hoping that a Democratic takeover of the House will lead to Trump's impeachment next year.
We now know that this partisan fight has become a fierce battle for the soul of America. And we, the people, have to win this battle.
The president's low public approval ratings leave Republicans vulnerable in November, says analyst John Fortier.
He's at a low level, not the lowest ever, but he's in the 41 or 42% job approval range. Still has the support of his Republican base very strongly, but has motivated many Democrats against him, and we see that in the special elections that have been going against Republicans.
In addition, a large number of congressional Republicans have announced their retirements this year, opening up more potential gains for Democrats. Jim Kessler is with the centrist Democratic group Third Way.
That is a real sign of pessimism. Even the speaker has decided not to run for re-election. Democrats are overperforming in every race and special election since Donald Trump was elected.
For Trump, Republicans losing control of even one congressional chamber would have enormous political consequences, says Brookings Institution expert Bill Galston.
Losing control of the House of Representatives would stop the administration's legislative agenda in its tracks. Losing control of the Senate would stop its appointments in their tracks.
Trump is likely to spend a lot of time on the campaign trail this year, well aware that the loss of several House and Senate seats could cost Republicans their congressional majorities. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Vaccines can prevent 23 different viruses and two types of cancer, and more vaccines are in the works, including one for HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. Yet despite these advances, many people choose to avoid getting these vaccinations for themselves and for their children. VOA's Carol Pearson has more.
Health workers are desperately trying to get each and every child vaccinated against polio, so no child will ever again suffer the crippling effects of this disease. There are other diseases that could be eliminated as well, including measles. But even though there's a highly effective measles vaccine, not all children are getting it. In Western countries, it's largely because parents choose not to vaccinate their children. Dr. Paul Offit is a pediatrician who specializes in infectious diseases at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
There's no year that's gone by, in at least in my history at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where we do not see a child suffer and die from a vaccine-preventable disease, and invariably it's because the parents made that choice.
Last year, more than 14,000 people, mostly children, caught measles in Europe. Romania had the most cases. Nearly 40 children have died in an outbreak that many blame on parents being misled by scare stories that vaccinating them is dangerous. It exasperates health officials like Miljana Grbic, head of the World Health Assembly in Romania.
We cannot fight this disease if we do not increase vaccination coverage. But we also have to understand why vaccination coverage is going down.
Paul Offit is a co-inventor of a rotavirus vaccine. He and other doctors say vaccines are victims of their own success.
For my parents, who were children of in the 20s and 30s, they saw diphtheria as a routine killer of teenagers. They saw polio as a common crippler of children and young adults. So that you didn't have to convince them to vaccinate me, my brother, and sister.
Professor Tony Yang is one of the principal authors of a study that suggests vaccine refusal is contagious in the U.S. It spreads from communities with a high number of refusers to other communities nearby.
Collectively, there's factors driving vaccine refusal and delay.
Some parents believe misinformation they read online about a false connection between vaccines and autism, despite numerous studies that show no connection at all. The parents then convince other parents not to immunize their children. Instead of fearing the disease, they fear the vaccines. A number of governments are now making it harder for parents not to immunize their children. And some countries are leading the way in promoting vaccines. The Australian government provides free HPV vaccines to all young girls. HPV is the only cause of cervical cancer, the second most common type of cancer in women worldwide. 20 to 30 years from now, more women in Australia might be cancer-free because of a vaccine and their government's policy. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. Next up, a conversation with Ali Soufan, a former supervisory FBI agent of Lebanese descent. Ali reacts to the former FBI director James Comey's new memoir, Russia's Pernicious Interference in U.S. and European Democracies, and the growing threat from homegrown white nationalists in the United States and their alliance with Moscow. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Move over, American Idol on The Voice. A new singing competition is in town, and it has country music written all over it. Nikki Strong of VOA Music is here with details. So, Nikki, tell us about this new show and how it's different from American Idol and The Voice.
Well, I think it's fair to say that country music has always been well represented on both American Idol and The Voice. Carrie Underwood is the most famous winner of American Idol. Luke Bryan now is one of the judges on American Idol. The Voice has brought us artists like Cassidy Pope, Ray Lynn, the Swan Brothers, and Blake Shelton, who is a coach on the Voice, is the coach with the most wins over the entire history of the show. So how is this show different? Well, this one is all about country. It's called Real Country. So far, we know the show will have at least two hosts or judges, Shania Twain and Jake Owen. It'll be filmed in Nashville, and it'll be three different groups competing to win. So it'll be soloists, as well as duos and trios. They all will be competing to win. And Shania Twain, she's one of the executive producers, she says the show is one of the ways she is adding her own support in finding great undiscovered talent. And she says she's on a mission to find artists who will keep country music diverse and dynamic.
When will it air and on what network?
It's going to air on the USA Network this fall for about 8 episodes. And by the way, this isn't the first all-country singing competition. There was Nashville Star back in 2003, which gave us our first glimpse at Chris Young and Miranda Lambert.
These shows do a lot of legwork for the record labels, though, don't they?
I think so. I think they do in the sense they discover great talent, and they do a lot of the preliminary marketing. So, because these shows, they usually share the contestant's backstory. They endear you to them. You get connected and you're rooting for them. So before they even release new music or get signed, they already have a built-in fan base. And labels like built-in fan bases because that translates into money. However, I will say being on a singing competition doesn't necessarily translate to your becoming a star. I think it just guarantees exposure.
You can hear music from Shania Twain, Jake Owen, Miranda Lambert, and more on Country Hits USA with Nikki Strong on VOA 1. You can catch up with Nikki on Facebook and Twitter at VOA 1 The Hits. Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome. Oh, life's about joy. Life's about pain. It's all about forgiving and the will to walk away. I'm ready to be loved.
Well, the music of Shania Twain brings us an end to our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us and have a great weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
29 people were killed and dozens more were injured in two bombings in Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, April 30th. 9 journalists and photographers were among those who died. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, lost 2 journalists, Abdullah Hananzai and Zabawoon Kakar. Mahram Duranay, who was set to begin working for RFERL in May, was also killed. The first explosion was reportedly carried out by an attacker on a motorbike. A second followed about 15 minutes later after a crowd, including several reporters, had gathered at the scene. The Islamic State terrorist group has claimed responsibility for the attack. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the United States strongly condemns the senseless and barbaric attack in Kabul that killed 29 people and wounded dozens more, including several brave journalists and media professionals. We extend our deepest condolences to the families and friends of the victims who were injured and killed, and we mourn all those who lost their lives. Secretary Pompeo praised the courage and dedication of the journalists who were killed and injured, and their colleagues who take great risks to carry out the mission of a free and independent press. The independent media is a cornerstone of democracy, said Secretary Pompeo. Despite horrific attacks, he said, the vibrant media landscape that has developed in Afghanistan will endure, in large part due to those journalists and media professionals who tragically died, but whose courageous and steadfast work helped lay the foundation for Afghanistan's thriving and resilient independent media. The Secretary of State said, the international community's commitment to the Afghan people and a lasting peace in Afghanistan will not be shaken by such attacks. The United States, along with our Afghan and international partners, is committed to defeating ISIS in Afghanistan, which has claimed responsibility for this attack. We stand with the people, the independent media, and government of Afghanistan, and remain committed to supporting the Afghan people's efforts to achieve peace, security, and democracy for their country.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.